Well, at this time, I invite you to join me in reading the scripture in also the book of Matthew. As you look in your bulletin, you can see that our scripture is a very well-known passage. Matthew 28, right at the end of Matthew, right at the end of the last chapter, verses 16 through 20. And you also see the topic of the sermon this evening is the Great Commissions. Let's read together. Matthew 28, verse 16 and following. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." As I said before, this passage is so well known by the name the Great Commission. And however, you might notice, or you might know this, that if you look through the Bible, you'll never find that word, those words, the Great Commission. Jesus didn't call his disciples together and say, "Okay, guys, get ready, here it comes. I'm going to give you the Great Commission." However, he did call them together, as we read here, and he did several times throughout the period of time after his resurrection, before his ascension, and commissioned them to serve him, to follow him, and to continue. However, you might notice something else in this reading. We find that some doubted. And some doubted, well, how could they doubt? I mean, they're seeing Jesus risen from the dead. They saw him crucified, now they're seeing him alive. He's called them, and now he's given his commission, but some doubted? Well, I would caution you not to be too hard on those disciples. I think sometimes we tend to do that. Oh, those silly disciples, what's wrong with them? We say that about Israel in the Old Testament. How could they be so stiff-necked, right? Well, we need to take that warning personally. We're not that different. And in fact, I think sometimes we in our own lives sometimes wonder, what are we supposed to do? You know, how are we supposed to serve the Lord? Now, the disciples, they had been with Christ for years, several years in his ministry. They were all good, religious, Jewish men. And yet, at this point, they still really didn't know what they were supposed to do. But Christ didn't leave them there. He commissioned them. And that's what he does for us as well. As we'll see in a quick survey of the five commissionings, that he gave them ample information. He gave them a very rich and full calling with very specific tasks and calling to take care of. He does that for us as well. Now I invite you to look with me at several passages. In fact, there's a sheet of sermon notes in your bulletin as well, and it has space for you to note down if you'd like to, or if you want to just listen, that's okay too. And first one we've read now, Matthew. And I want to ask what we call inductive Bible study questions here. Now, what we do with inductive Bible studies is we just approach the scriptures and ask simple questions. Who, what, where, why, how, when, all those simple questions, because we want to find out what exactly is the Bible saying. And what we're going to do here is we're going to look at each one of the five texts in which Jesus gives a commissioning to his disciples, and we're going to ask those kind of questions. And this first one in Matthew, as we've read, we're first going to start out with the where and when and follow from there. Remember, because he gave these commissionings five times. We want to see exactly what is this content and how is it given. So where, it says right there in verse 16, on the mountain to which Jesus had told them to go in Galilee. That leads us to the when, because Galilee was a several days' journey from Judea, which is where Jesus had risen from the dead. So it was several days after the resurrection. Now, another thing we want to look at is, what are the commands? What did that Jesus actually say? And here it's pretty clear. He says, go, make disciples, baptizing them, and then teaching them. And it's a very full set of commands there. And it's interesting that when he gives specifics, when he says go, he says also making disciples, baptizing them, not in any old way, but in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. And then teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Wow, everything. That's a big body of material. And yet I don't think Matthew just pulled this up out of nowhere, neither did Jesus. This commissioning, again, wasn't a last-minute decision. Jesus was bringing all of the richness of his teaching, everything that he had been doing throughout his ministry. He had brought about many miracles. He had taught in the Sermon on the Mount. He had taught through parables. All this is part of this richness. And as we saw in his law, in the God's law earlier on, that he also summarized it himself with the great commandments. That's all part of the commissioning that Jesus gives us. Let's move on to the next passage, which is at the end of the book of Mark. And you'll notice each one of these is towards the end of each of the four Gospels. Mark chapter 16. And we'll pick up in verse 14. And we're going to read just up until verse 16. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe, even those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Now here we find another expression of a commissioning. After Jesus' resurrection, in fact, we are asked the when and the where. Well, it says where and when. It says later, after he appeared to the 11 as they were eating. Well, we have to perhaps read into it and look back in the same chapter, but we can find that it was on the same day as the resurrection, that first Sunday, that Resurrection Sunday. And it was later, and it was where they had met together, where they were eating. We can assume that that was in that upper room where Jesus first came and met the disciples on Resurrection Sunday. What is the commandment? In verse 15, it says very clearly, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." You might say, well, didn't he say go in Matthew? Well, remember, Matthew was later. Here we find him saying go for the first time. And there's also something interesting about Matthew's commissioning. That word go in the original text is the word going. It is a progressive form of the verb. And yet, he's almost like he's saying, as you're going, remember I told you to go. Well, as you're going and preaching, you also are going to be making disciples and baptizing and teaching. He's adding to that commissioning. And here, this first account, we find that he gives a very simple two-part command. Go into all the world and preach the good news. And we'll move on to the next one, which is Luke. The last chapter in the book of Luke, chapter 24. And we have, towards the end of that chapter, we have another example of Christ's commissioning. And I just want to focus on verse 47. 47-48. And Jesus says to them, "Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." And here we find, if we go back and ask the questions, where, when, etc. Well, first of all, go back a little earlier in this passage, we'll see that it was also in the upper room on the first Sunday, on the same day that Jesus had risen from the dead. We find him stating, you might ask the question, what are the commands? Well, there aren't any direct commands. Luke is now relating something additional to what Mark had related, in which he says, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached to all nations. And then he says, you are witnesses of these things. This is actually the same event as reported in Mark. It's on the first Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday, in the evening in the upper room. Okay, let's move on. Keeping the thread going. Hope I'm not going too fast for you. But in John, the second to the last chapter in the book of John, with chapter 20, we're going to look at verses... actually, let's go ahead and read 19 and following. John 20, 19 and following. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." With that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now here again, we see where and when. It's the same event. It's this first Sunday, the first day after resurrection. It is in the evening of that day, and it is in the upper room as they're meeting together. And John relates additional information of Jesus' commissioning, in which he states those words, "Peace be with you." He states the receiving of the Holy Spirit, and then about the forgiveness of sins. One more, Acts. It's just right across the page or just a couple pages over, depends on your Bible. But in Acts chapter 1, verses 3 and following, and we're just going to read verses 8 and 9. Actually, just verse 8, sorry. Acts 1:8, very well-known passage as well. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And again, we want to look at the where and when. We have to look at a few other verses in this passage. We see that the when is in verse 4, 40 days after the resurrection. The when, and also we could mention it's verses 9 and following, we see that is immediately before the ascension. The where is listed in verse 12. They were on the Mount of Olives. So now we find that this is the last of three occasions in which Jesus gives the Great Commissioning, and he wraps it up for them. And he gives them the final, complete push, building upon the rest of his presentations, the rest of his commissionings. And here he simply gives them one command: "You will be my witnesses." That is the wrapping up. That is kind of a summary of all the rest of the activities which he commanded them to do. Now, we might want to ask ourselves, after all that, did it work? What was the impact? The disciples catch on? Remember, they had doubted, and they had lack of faith, and they were fearful. Well, if we look throughout the book of Acts and the rest of the Bible, we'll find that, yes, the impact was made. They began to fulfill the commissioning almost immediately. Now, it is interesting, too, that in the book of Acts, he came to them and said, "Do not leave Jerusalem." That's Acts 1, verse 4. And that's the first thing they did. The first thing they did was they returned after Jesus had ascended to heaven. They returned to the upper room and met together and awaited the promise that Jesus had given. So they obeyed that first commandment to go and wait, to wait for him, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then, as we read in chapter 2 of Acts and following, immediately, when the Holy Spirit came and filled them with the power from on high, well, then nothing could stop them. They went out, they preached, they baptized, they taught, they forgave, they continued in doing that, even if you look throughout the rest of the book of Acts. And that has continued throughout church history to this very day. The disciples understood the calling. The Holy Spirit was the one that gave them power to be able to fulfill it. And we can see testimony to that in the Dominican Republic as well, where we're serving. We see how God is working through his church planting, evangelism, discipleship. The gospel is being preached. And we see that, for example, this year, 6 new church plants were started in the Dominican Republic through the ministries that we're connected with. We also see it in the Christian schools, where the Christian schools are reaching out in communities where There was not much Christian education, or actually very little education opportunities at all. And now there are loving Christian teachers that reach out, and some of the children that come from difficult homes and difficult situations, they're receiving the love of Christ in those places. And we see that all throughout the ministries. I mean, think of one young man named Hobertson. He's from a little town called Quisqueya in San Pedro. And I've known his father. His father's a pastor and had planted a church in a nearby village. And earlier this year, I met him, and he said, I want to take you and see something. So we went over, and he showed me a new building. And I said, what is that? Well, that's our new church building. They had begun their church on their own in another town. And he, as a young man, was interested in learning more and studying in order to be able to pastor that church. We see that happening all over the place. And I think of a school teacher. There's a teacher named Olga. She's in a little town called Bermejo near Monte Plata. It's out in the countryside in Dominican Republic. And she was born and raised in that community, went to that school, and then years later, she was able to graduate from college and go back there as a Christian school teacher. And she has expressed the love and the care that she has for the students, and the transformation that occurs in the lives of the children, spiritually, as well as their opportunities once they have an education, but even also their families and the whole communities are changed with that love, with God's work that's going on in those places. Well, we might want to ask ourselves a question again. So what are we supposed to do? I think that's what the disciples were asking themselves. Well, first of all, we have to remember, Jesus is giving a commission, but it is his mission. It's God's work. And he's the one who raises up workers for his kingdom. Jesus is the one who commissions us to serve him. And then the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the power to be able to carry out that commissioning. But we need to really know, what are we supposed to do? If you look through the list of commands that Jesus gave through the different expressions of the Great Commissions, we can see several. One is to go. You might think to yourself, oh, wow, I can't really go. You know, go to another country? I can never do that. Well, some are called to go, but some are also called to stay. And just like the disciples, after Jesus commissioned them, they had to stay, but they didn't just sit around doing nothing. While they stayed, they prayed. And from there on, they began to call missionaries who would go out to other places as well. So that's a role for some of us are called to stay. What other kind of commands are there? Well, Jesus also said, preach the gospel. You might think to yourself, well, I don't know, I can't really preach. You know, I can't envision myself standing in front of the congregation. Well, that is one calling, to preach. But we preach all the time with our lives, with the words we say, with our attitudes. It's not just standing in front of the congregation. Our preaching is as we live and as we interact with people. It could be in school, it might be at a job, it might be in the store. Simple ways of showing Christ's love. That's how we preach as well. That's what Jesus meant by being a witness. Now, you might say, well, what is that, being a witness? How am I supposed to be a witness? Well, what is the definition of a witness? A witness is a person who simply says what he has seen and heard himself. As we are witnesses to Christ, we are giving a testimony to what he has done in our own lives. We're also giving witness to what Christ has done as we read it in the Scripture. We know it. All we need to do is share it with someone else. Another command was to baptize. Oh, well, I definitely can't do that. And maybe that's true. Most of us are not called or commissioned to baptize. That's because there are specific gifts, and Christ and the Holy Spirit gives gifts and callings to specific people for specific tasks. That's okay. How about making disciples? Wow, what does that even mean? How do you make disciples? Well, you know, sometimes I think we complicate it by special programs or systems that we put in place and hire somebody. Well, that's the pastor of discipleship. Well, that's his job now. But we all, in little or in big ways, can disciple as well. Maybe it's just through a friend that we talk to on a regular basis. Maybe we just sit down and pray with somebody when they feel the need. And even if you have children or grandchildren that you're raising, guess what? They're your disciples. Well, there's one more I'd like to mention. One more command that Jesus gave. And that is to forgive. Well, you know what? That's something we can all definitely do. And in fact, we need to do that at all times. And when Jesus said that in the book of John, he says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. He also goes on to say, if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. I think sometimes we've taken that to mean, oh good, now I have an option to not forgive if I don't want to. You know, let them have it. That's because that's what they deserve. Is that really what Jesus meant? If you remember other words of Jesus, as he gave the Lord's Prayer, at the end of that he said, if you do not forgive anyone their sins, how is it the Father can forgive you? We are called to forgive. So why did he say, if you do not forgive anyone their sins? I take that as a warning. Be careful. If you do not forgive them, then they may not even be forgiven. We need to forgive. That's our calling. We are all commissioned in these different ways. Sure, there are different gifts. There are different positions. But these great commissionings, the great commissions give us all that we need to know to serve him. They give us a wealth of information, a multitude of commandments, of options for serving him. Could be every day of our lives, no matter where we are, we can do this. At the end of it, we say, well, it's a big job. What's going to happen? There's a wonderful promise that Jesus gives. In fact, every expression of the Great Commission has a promise attached to it. In Matthew, he says, I am with you always. That's a wonderful promise. Jesus tells us, I'm not sending you out there on your own. I am with you. He says, this will, remember in Luke, he says, forgiveness and sins and repentance will be preached. It's not, well, maybe this will work. Let's give it a try. No, this is going to happen. It's his will, it is his mission, and he is going to assure that it is carried out. And it will also go to all nations. Now, that might have been a huge stretch for the disciples in that time, thinking, wow, all nations, well, you know, we just, might as well just start at home. Well, that's true. He said, okay, you start in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, but then it will go to all nations. And that promise is being and has really almost been fulfilled in our day, which all nations are hearing the gospel. He also gives one more promise. He says, even to the end of the age. That's going to take us all the way through. There's no time, there's no place that Christ's promises and commissioning will not be fulfilled. That is his promise. Those are our assurances and those are our calling. The only question, again, is what are we going to do? Well, I pray that the Lord will guide each one, will open the doors for service, no matter if it's here at home or elsewhere, to fulfill his commissioning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord, for your commissioning of us. Lord, you gave us such a broad command, set of commandments, and yet you've made it clear to us that we each have a place in your kingdom, in your service. We pray, Lord, that you would make it clear to each one what that would be. In Jesus' name, amen.